This is episode 392, dated Monday, May 26th, 2025. And I hope you are having a very blessed Memorial Day today.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everybody. And welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. Glad to be with all of you today. This is episode 392, dated Monday, May 26th, 2025. And I hope you are having a very blessed Memorial Day today. Before we continue, allow me to introduce the panel members that are here thus far. We start out with Mitch Pomerantz. Mitch Pomerantz.
There we go. Good afternoon, good evening from beautiful downtown Pasadena. It's in the upper 60s and sunny, and just a nice, peaceful Memorial Day. My wife and I are heading over to my mother-in-law's for dinner in an hour or so, and I hope everybody has had a good Memorial Day and have given some thoughts to the men and probably nowadays women who fought and died for this country. My father-in-law, who passed away last year, was a Marine over in Korea, and I had a very close friend who worked for me for a number of years as a reader and driver, and Jim was in Vietnam and impacted by Agent Orange and lost him probably 4 or 5 years ago. So this is a holiday I suspect we all have had friends or family members who have given the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms we enjoy here.
Yes, and I couldn't agree with you more about that sentiment for sure. Don Wardlow.
Hi there. It's nice weather in Jersey. For once, hasn't been cold and damp in the morning like it was the last 3 or 4 mornings, and I won't even tell you what that does to a guy with a back as injured as mine is. So, but here it is, a decent day, and trying to get caught up on everything that has gotten backed up with the holiday weekend.
We are sunny here, temperatures in the 60s. It's gradually warming up from the craziness that we've had the past few days with the rain and the cold weather and the gloominess. It's been crazy up here. So much for global warming. Peter Altschul, Michael Garrett, and Luther King, as far as I know, will be joining us. And when they do, I'm sure they will let us know. I want to thank those people who make it possible for
Peter
Sports
Altschul
Roundtable. Peter, how are you?
All right. How are you?
Good, good.
Actually, Mitch and I are having similar weather, about 60 degrees here, beautiful. The typical Coos Bay breeze in the afternoon. And I think finally we have late spring. It's supposed to hit 72 tomorrow, which for us is very warm. So I'm delighted.
Yes. I'm sure you're looking forward to that. It doesn't happen that often in the springtime, right?
It doesn't happen very much in the summer either.
Wow.
I love the weather here. It's great because it doesn't get much beyond 70 degrees most of the time. It doesn't get much below 32 most of the time. So it's really a very temperate climate.
Before we continue, allow me to thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer. Thank you for what you do. It is much appreciated. Also, our media outlets. Thank you for airing us when you do. That's much appreciated as well. And of course, thank you to Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions, because she archives our shows on my website, www.brancoevents.com. If you want to hear some archived programs, go there, arrow down until you get the Sports Roundtable podcast, click on them, and you will hear most of our archives from latest to earliest.
Merci, Jackie.
I want to thank Cindy for being our host for today's program and Brad for being our streamer. And because we are being streamed live, let me give out my email address for those people who are listening, who may have some questions or thoughts about the sports world and our show itself. That's Bob Branco 93, B-O-B-B branco93@gmail.com. Well, the NBA picture is very simple right now. We have Indiana versus the Knickerbockers, and we have Minnesota versus OKC. Very interesting. The markets are not as strong as the NBA would have liked, maybe except for New York. And, of course, in hockey, we have the Dallas Stars and Edmonton Oilers in the West, and the Florida Panthers, who may clinch it tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. Any thoughts on the playoff picture so far?
Both series have potential for being long series. I'm not as confident with the Knicks being a long series. Actually, we'll see. But the Knicks did pull off a road win yesterday after losing their first two games at home. And so the Knicks haven't totally given up yet. And I'm really curious to see what happens with tonight's game, whether OKC get their act together and play better than they did on Saturday night when they lost by 42 points.
As far as the Knicks go, I really believed that they would have had momentum after what they did to the Celtics. I thought, this is it. The Knicks are destined to win the whole thing.
Well, the thing with the Knicks is, remember, Indiana had a similar run with Cleveland. I mean, they came back, I think, twice from big leads against Cleveland, and certainly once. And, you know, I think they both teams had, you know, improbable wins. And the Knicks won their third game, but coming back from a 20-point deficit. And I was thinking about this, because 20-point deficits almost never were recovered from, you know, 15 years ago. And I think part of the issue is the 3-point shot. It's easier to come back from if you get hot from the 3-point line, as the Indiana Pacers did on game one. And the same thing happened last night. You know, the Knicks got hot, the Pacers did not, and the Knicks came all the way back to win. So it's not, you know, 20 points used to be insurmountable, you know, back in, let's say early 2000s or 1990s. Also, the game is faster now. In the 1990s was much more of a bully ball kind of thing. But now it's possible to come back from a 20-point deficit. It happens fairly regularly. So
I have a question. Mitch. Particularly for those of you on the East Coast, because you can pick up New York City radio and I could listen to WFAN, I suppose, if I wanted to. Up until about 3 or 4 years ago, James Dolan was the laughingstock of the NBA. He micromanaged. He didn't hire good general manager, good coaches. All of a sudden, has he just sort of decided to be a decent owner and keep his mouth shut and keep his hands off the team and let some decent people who know what they're doing run it? I mean, all of a sudden, the Knicks really were the laughing stock of the NBA for a bunch of years under Dolan. What happened?
I think you're right, Mitch. I think you said it really well. I think Thibodeau is really the guy. He really got things together. The question with Thibodeau, for me, is he clearly has the skills to, you know, get a team from being bad to being pretty good. The question is, can he take the next step? Because in my experience, coaches can be one of two things. They're either, you know, they start from the good coaches. They either start, you know, from getting a team bad to getting a team good, you know, meaning they make the playoffs. But often those coaches can't take the next step. You know, where they, you know, it seems to be a different kind of coaching requirements. And so I don't know whether Thibodeau has that or not, but at the very least, he's gotten the Knicks, you know, to not be an embarrassment. And who knows? They might,
they made two major acquisitions last summer that helped a lot. Towns and Bridges. Those really helped the team.
Who's their GM?
I have no idea.
I'm trying to think. I don't recall at the moment who it is.
Well, because at one time Dolan was interfering and, you know, maybe it's the old line. If he was involved in hiring Thibodeau, the old line about even a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while. Maybe Dolan accidentally hired a good coach. Although when Thibodeau was with the Bulls, he wore out his welcome in fairly short order, because of what he's doing now with the Knicks, which is he doesn't play a lot of players. And,
right.
And after you do that for a certain period of time, they wear down. And apparently he's a tough-minded guy. He's not, I don't know, maybe he was a Marine in his younger days, but he doesn't take a lot of nonsense from his players. And today's players aren't really into that, but it would be great to see him win a championship if they can come back and beat Indiana and then take whoever's in the West comes out of the West. And the NBA certainly would like a big market team in the finals. We know that.
Absolutely.
I can't see OKC losing. I think they're, you know, I mean, they might lose to Minnesota, I suppose, but I think OKC really is, when they're at their best, they're by far the best team in the league.
They won 68 games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, and two of the 14 games they lost were against the Lakers. I'm not sure what that says, but
coincidence?
We might have beaten them more than anybody else in the NBA this past season.
So, gentlemen, what do you think happened with the Celtics? We haven't spent that much time on that demise because we've had guests, but was it Mazzulla's fault for making the Celtics go three happy? Or was it just injury that plagued them? Or was it somewhere in between?
Injury always plays a part. As soon as their top guard went down in that series, I thought, yeah, they're in big trouble.
I think they were in trouble even before he went down. I think they are three happy. But then again, there are a couple of teams in the league that are three happy. But
I think half the league is.
Yeah, there are some players who really, and everybody hates the word choke, and I won't say they choked, but I think a couple, three of the Celtic players were, the spotlight was a little too hot for them.
But they were there last year.
Well, I understand that, but for whatever reason, and Horford is, what, about 60?
You're the second person that's told me that today. That's funny. So, I think he's 39.
Yeah, I mean, they wear out. It's a long season. And again, you've got to have a pretty deep bench. And I don't know, I thought the Celtics had a pretty deep bench, but obviously something was different between this year and last year in the playoffs.
Oh, I think last year they got a little lucky when they got Dallas. That's no put down of Dallas, but they may not have been the best team in the West last year, but they still got through.
Excuse me, what is your name?
Kevin.
Oh, Berkley. Kevin. All right, Kevin.
Mitch's right. Former neighbor.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Wonderful. So the thing too is we had Tatum go down and he's going to be out for a year or so, maybe. We found out that Brown had a torn ACL, I believe, Jaylen Brown. Porzingis has had some sort of a viral issue. That doesn't help the situation. Don't forget, the Celtics brought back 15 of the 17 players that won the championship last year.
I think you've said it, Bob. The Celtics are just old, you know, their bench are just older and it's hard to repeat anyway. And then when you have Brown hurt and of course Tatum hurt, you know, and then I think the Celtics just, those two games, the first two games against the Knicks, they, as we said back then, were 3 point too happy and made some really poor choices and the Knicks took advantage of it. By the way, the Knicks also didn't play well game one. Same exact thing. You know, they had the game in hand and they did a lot of stupid things and missed free throws and they got, you know, Indiana got hot. That 3 point guy, I can't remember the guy's name, who got like 6 3 pointers in a row. You know, the Knicks blew it. So that's what I find so interesting about basketball these days. I don't, you know, playoffs, how easy it is to blow a 20 point lead because it happens fairly regularly.
I think it's 2-1 Indiana now, or is it 3-1 Indiana?
No, it's 2-1.
2-1. Okay.
2-1.
Yeah.
So if the Knicks can win game four, which I think is probably not likely, which is tomorrow night, then all of a sudden it's 2-2 with the Knicks having the home field again. So who knows? Who knows? And again, we'll see what happens today with, if Minnesota can pull off another win, then that series is 2-2. So I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
You know, it would be interesting to have a Minnesota Knicks series because of the big trade.
Oh, that's true.
The Towns.
Towns. That would be a good storyline going into that series.
I just can't see OKC losing when it comes down to it. But who knows?
OKC has the best defense in basketball.
Who knows what's going to happen?
I don't know.
So Mitch, you know, I hear rumblings, you know, in Oregon about the Lakers and LeBron mumbling and, you know,
Tim. He's always mumbling.
Action.
He's always mumbling.
He's always mumbling about something. But what do you think is happening? I mean, they obviously need a big man or two. And what do you think is going to happen with them?
It's really hard to say. They are, and I heard this last week, they may not be quite so picky. They're apparently revisiting the Mark Williams trade. I guess he got healthier, or they found a more lenient doctor or something. But I think that the Lakers, you know, they really need, someone needs to go and talk to Luka. And you know, he's got to get into playing shape, and he's got to at least pretend to play some defense. The Lakers will pick up a center. I'm trying to remember the Indiana guy who's a free agent this year.
Turner?
I'm sorry?
Turner.
There was talk about him possibly being in their sights.
I heard a rumor that Porzingis might be in their sights for Austin Reeves. I don't know if you heard that rumor.
Well, I even though Austin Reeves kind of shrank in the first round of the playoffs, I like Austin Reeves and they need a third scorer. They need, you know, and that's what he is. He's a third scorer. So I would hate to see him traded as it was, although he's not quite on that level. I was a big Alex Caruso fan, and it kills me when he left, 3 years back or thereabouts via free agency. So I'd hate to see them lose Reeves, trade Reeves. If they do make a deal, Connect would be a part of that, and probably a couple of draft choices in 2040.
So I think 2040.
50.
2040. You know, that's funny.
They've got draft choices gone up till at least 30. They may have one, but I mean, it's crazy how in the NBA you trade draft picks 5-6 years down the road. It's nuts.
And I think one of those trades, they traded a 2029 pick, if I'm right.
Yeah.
That Luka Doncic trade, right? Where they traded their 2029?
That's correct.
Now, what do you think Bronny's future is? Does anybody have any idea what's going to happen?
Right now, he has no future at this point. Because right now, he's in the, he's at the G League or whatever the heck they call the, minor leagues of the G League right now. But to be honest with you, I don't see that future being with the Lakers, because if LeBron leaves, Bronny's going to want to leave.
I heard he's going back to Cleveland for his final season.
If he goes back to Cleveland.
I will go one step further. I will go one step further. And I'm prejudiced. I'm prejudiced against Bronny James. Now, granted, he had a heart condition.
But he had, but the,
during
but
the summer
problem.
When he was with USC. But when he got back into shape the last 10 or 15 games of the season, he was awful.
He has no shot.
Yeah, I don't think Bronny is an NBA player. I just don't. I
agree with you.
He was drafted. The Lakers drafted him because they knew that LeBron wanted to play with him. But I don't think he's an NBA caliber player. I really don't.
I didn't like his game when he was in college, to be honest with you. I mean, I didn't get a chance to listen to many of his games, but from, you know, when he couldn't hit
the broadside of a barn.
I mean, when he played teams like Arizona, who were bigger and longer, all they had to do is just knock him off his spot.
He literally got his daddy's rep.
He has no shot. He has no creativity in his game.
Correct.
And I'm thinking, like, how do you think you're going to make the NBA in this era of the league where you have shot makers and shot creators that can create their own shot? Cause that's what the league's becoming. You have to be able to make shots, but you also have to be able to create your own shot or set up others to do it.
And you know, there's a lot less, you know, generational, you know, families in like basketball or, I mean,
baseball doesn't have many,
but we still have some. We have the Boones, we have the Bells, Griffies. We have the Griffies. Yes. Yeah. But you just almost never.
Here's where you're seeing more of those family generational dynamic. You're seeing it in football. Look at the Mannings. Look at, you know, I mean, there's not many, but again, almost every kid is either playing now football or they're playing soccer or, you know, other sports besides basketball. They're not putting all their eggs into one sport basket like they used to.
Speaking of people who might not pan out, I wonder if Cooper Manning, you know, the guy is. Thus far, he hasn't shown very much. Now, again, he's a sophomore and he was whatever, but I'm curious to see how he'll do next year.
Are you talking about Arch? You're talking about Arch Manning.
What did I say? Cooper.
You said Cooper.
Yeah.
I knew where he was going.
Cooper was the brother of the Mannings who ended up with a disability and couldn't play football.
I think it was a
car crash and I think he was paralyzed because of it, I think.
He had something like MS, but.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but it really affected his legs though.
I'm curious to see, did
backing up Quinn Mewers help him or hurt him? Because Michael will defend Manning.
So if Michael doesn't get on the call today, ask him that question next week.
We'll definitely ask if we don't have a guest next week. Because he's the biggest Texas homer I know on this pin.
He's as big a Texas homer as I am a USC homer.
Ain't that the truth?
So I wanted to go back to the Danzig trade for a second, because I was one of the few people who wasn't at all confident that the Lakers got the better deal because of Mitch, what you were talking about. Danzig is not known for being in shape.
Another problem he has. That Luka Doncic has always had, he's never been a good on the ball defender. That's been his biggest issue since he's been in the league. He can get you 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 a night.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the other side of the floor, as a lot of media pundits would say, he's allergic to it. He hates playing defense. And they thought the trade to the Lakers with him having a, you know, friendship with JJ Redick would get him to play better defensively.
And it still might. You know, they're going to have all of training camp and all of the off season to kind of get him turned around and decide that, you know, maybe I should play some defense. So we'll know a whole lot more come next October.
Oh, we'll definitely we'll have an idea by the time if he's even improved in preseason, because when we get to the regular season, whatever you have in preseason, even though the stats don't count, you'll have an idea if, you know, his defensive ability has improved really quick.
But the real issue for me is, can he get, is he going to take himself, is his physical?
The question you're asking is, how committed to his craft is he?
My understanding is that, and I relate, he's a beer drinker. And so what needs to happen is they need to find him a really good light beer that has some flavor. Cause apparently he is a beer drinker And he does a lot of that during the off season, and he may do it during the regular season too. But if JJ can get to him, and maybe even LeBron, maybe LeBron can kind of sit down and say, son, we're going to have to talk.
But here's the thing. If LeBron leaves in free agency, is it really going to matter? If he decides to go back to Cleveland?
I just can't see it. Maybe it'll happen.
LeBron isn't going to leave. He's going to end his career with the Lakers.
I can't see him doing that.
Although the truth
of the matter is, you know, I don't know what happened. Cleveland fell apart this year because of injuries. I mean, if he wanted to go back to Cleveland, they might really win a championship again. You know,
here's the thing though.
But I don't think
if LeBron comes back, and depending on what he's going to ask for money wise, how many of those guys are they actually going to be able to keep? Because you know Mitchell's going to want his. You know Garland's already is going to get his.
Mobley.
And Mobley's going to ask for his.
I heard about a trade this morning.
Oh, what is it, Mitch?
They are looking at Giannis, and they are looking at trading Mobley and the guy you just mentioned, the guard.
Garland.
No.
Cleveland. Garland is your centerpiece of that team.
I'm just telling you, but if they want Giannis bad enough, they're going to have to give up a centerpiece.
Well, here's the thing. If I'm Cleveland and I want to keep Garland, Mobley and Mitchell would be my two, because Mitchell's getting up there in age.
But all three are the nucleus of Cleveland. Why would they want to make that deal?
But here's the thing though. Giannis is still in his prime. If you get Giannis, you upgrade your center position by a ton. And plus, he can get you double doubles. And Cleveland doesn't have that guy in the middle. Giannis can potentially be that guy.
Allen.
No. Giannis Antetokounmpo puts Cleveland into an instant title contender.
I'm not convinced, actually.
I didn't say they're really
close this year. If it hadn't been for those injuries, they might have beaten Indiana. I'm not, you know, clearly injuries happened and it is what it is, but it makes me really uncomfortable when teams who are pretty good teams, you know, give up two of their better players.
Yeah.
I was worried about with the Knicks too, because their bench was depleted. Now it's gone really well thus far. So, you know, these things can work out, but when the Cavaliers are so close, I think they might take a step back next year, certainly.
But here's the question. How much longer can the window stay open? Because you know, at some point that window is going to close. And when it does, it closes hard.
Like with the Celtics.
Exactly.
I'm not convinced the Celtics, of course, the Celtics are going to be without Tatum.
Well, the Celtics are going to have, they're going to have to get rid of some folks to get under the cap. Because
they are.
They're already.
I'm hearing Porzingis.
Well, that's a start, but I think maybe one more on the books. I think there possibly could be maybe a White, maybe.
I hope not either,
but here's the thing. If you're trying to get below the salary cap, unfortunately, is going to be sacrificed.
And the one
Why would anybody want Porzingis, by the way?
Well, I was just going to say Porzingis, until he shows that he's healthy, and that's going to want him.
That's been his biggest knock his whole career. He's always been damaged goods. He's always been hurt.
But this isn't, he's not hurt now. He's got some kind of
viral thing.
What I hear, it almost sounds like Lyme disease, the way they've described it. Mm. But no one's going to take a chance on him unless they're sure he's healthy. He's over whatever that is he's got.
Shall we open this up for questions
until the bottom of the hour? Yes. So let me turn things over to Cindy to find out if anybody has a hand raised.
Yes,
now,
sir.
While Cindy's looking,
Gene Johnson
with Bob Branco and the gang.
Okay. So first and foremost, you were mentioning trade deals. I can confirm they plan on keeping Jaylen Brown.
I hope so.
I also can tell you that the other rumor is that they're possibly getting rid of Hauser. Which
I heard that also. Isn't he a free agent, Gene? I thought he was a free agent.
He's up for a free agency this year, I think. Yeah. So but that's not really giving away a lot, if you will. You know, so they're not going to get much back from that deal. I don't know. And was it Jerzan Roses, I think, is the general manager for the Knicks?
I think so.
Yeah.
It sounds right.
Yeah. Roses is the general manager of the Knicks. I don't know. I was telling some friends of mine that, like, I really don't want to see the Knicks. I really hate to see the Knicks actually win this, only because, kind of call it a little bit of resentment, but I'll say that a lot of what happened was the Celtics. They just weren't playing right. They weren't all there.
They were three happy.
Yeah.
They thought they could just roll the ball out and their talent would actually outscore folks. And Bob, remember that email I sent you? I never got a response from you about that.
What's that?
Dan Patrick clip that I sent you, and you told me you'd respond after the series in an email. I don't know.
What did Dan Patrick say? Refresh my memory.
When he said something about the Celtics not having the killer instinct, remember? When they had that 20-point lead and they gagged it?
Well, they were shooting threes left and right. They were 10 for 60, I think. Not 10 for 60. They were 10 for, yeah.
It was way too hot.
They were 10 for 60, and then the next game they were 15 for 40, and they lost both games.
Yeah. And it feels like a lot of teams are morphing into that.
I think the problem is the Celtics, you know, they had too much confidence into the game. You know, they're a pretty good defensive team. And I don't think they probably walked into it, oh, we're going to be fine. We're just going to throw threes and really get up there real fast. And, you know, it turned out to be the opposite because they weren't really all that. There was that one game. I think it was game two. They had terrible three.
Yeah. And then what was it in game five? They finally got back to what they knew how to do, but by then it was too late.
It was too late. Yeah.
They were down 3-1 because they lost the next two. Cause after they lost the first two and they won game three and then lost game four, I'm like, why weren't you doing this from the start in game five? The same thing you did in game five. Why didn't you do in the first two? And right. You would have been in a position to close that series out in six.
What really puzzled me,
yeah.
I really thought the Celtics had a chance in game six.
I thought so. I mean, I thought too.
I thought that they had a good shot because there was something like 10-3 when Tatum wasn't playing. This is not a criticism of Tatum at all.
Oh no, I know where you're going. Yeah.
I thought they had a good shot of winning that game and they got smoked. I mean,
I did not expect
that at all. That was a total surprise.
The thing was the Celtics basically screwed themselves. Cause if you win one or both of those games on your home floor, you can drop one of those two road games and still be in a position to close that out. But when you lose both at home, it's almost impossible to overcome that. It's literally impossible to overcome being 0-2 and losing both of them on your home floor. At your expense.
But that was the advantage that the Celtics had too. They had won more games away than they had.
That's true.
But the problem was, like we always talk about all the time, right. The playoffs are a different animal.
I know.
You can't, you know, gag opportunities when you have them.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to talk about, gentlemen, is because we haven't really talked too much about it, is the NFL. I saw a post from Rabel, who basically came out and was pretty stern on his team. And I'm not surprised by it.
I'm not either.
And I'm really hoping that this just honestly fires up the team because, I mean, they need that.
For one, Rabel's always going to, you know, be a little harder on his guys. That's one of those that is going to be an automatic with him. Mm-hmm. He's one of those old school coaches that ain't gonna accept you being lazy or thinking you're gonna be coddled and have stuff handed to you.
Yeah.
He did that in Tennessee. He wasn't gonna allow like, okay, we're hurt, but you know, we gotta play the game.
Mike Vrabel is the defensive-minded version of Dan Campbell.
Yes, he is.
And Mike Vrabel, why Tennessee fired him?
Because they were stupid. I'm just going to tell you. Let me put it this way.
They would not be in the shape they're in today if they had kept Mike Vrabel.
Here's what they should have done, okay? Here's what they should have done. Rand Carthon should have been fired first day he got on the job. Because Rand Carthon, when he came from the San Francisco, I'm like, this guy is a bleep clown. I'm literally like, I'm sitting there, okay, listening to his presser, okay? And normally I don't like asking for people's jobs, but when he sat up there and basically acted like, oh, everything's fine, we're good, like, dude, you need to get somewhere and get some gone out of here. Because right now what you're doing with your bloviating self is acting like a total butt right now. You are making this franchise look so irrelevant.
Yeah. Now he,
I would remind you. Go ahead, Mitch.
He will do for New England in a couple of years what Campbell's done for the Lions.
It won't take him long if he doesn't screw it up. If the front office doesn't screw it up, he will. Don't doubt.
I would remind all of us that when Campbell got the job at the Lions, he said a bunch of really stupid things and got slammed for it in the press. And everybody that I heard said he would not survive the Lions for more.
Yes.
And guess what? He's done just fine.
Yeah. So
in his fifth year?
But
is it his fifth year already? Something like that?
That being said, I think that New England's media coverage is a lot worse. In my opinion, we tend to be, or New England fans and media tend to be a little, yeah, I think so.
No, the giant New York media is the worst.
No, the Boston media can be pretty intense too.
Well, yes, they can. What I'm saying, they can be. But with the New York Giants especially.
But that's more of a joke at this point.
Good point.
So, you know, I don't think it really matters with, they just honestly tease at this point. Everybody expects the hire from New England.
Sure.
So.
Because when Belichick was there, that is what was expected.
It was the gold standard. Yeah.
It was the standard. And then when they fell off,
even when you turn and look at the other, you know, leagues like, NHL, everyone's on Don Sweeney's case, you know,
yeah.
It's the media in New England, at least for my opinion anyway, has always been the hardest.
I mean, I agree with you on that. It's just like, whoa, like on like Boston media, it's like no jokes, but when the Celtics were bad,
look at the whole coverage of Durant when you know, he had the suicide thing.
Yeah.
You know, it media just picks up on every little thing
and runs with it.
That came out in the documentary, Gene.
Oh, I know it did, but
it still counts as media because you know, they ran with it.
It was talked up basically.
Yeah, it was. I remember when I think it was you on this show, Bob, that said something about it before we closed out an episode with, I think we had a guest on that day that, you know, talked about that subject, I think, if I'm right.
Probably.
Or it may have been Nadell when we were talking to him about.
Yeah, that would be his thing and it would be my thing also because it's a serious business to me.
Yeah.
I did make an attempt in 1988 and it's nothing to joke about.
Mm-mm, nope.
It's nothing to taunt somebody about.
It's nothing to laugh about because I will say this, and I
don't know if anyone else has picked up on this. Okay, but anytime Durant comes up to bat, he's always got a green wristband. And that is supposed to symbolize that he's okay.
Right.
And I think that the finer things about the whole thing, it just bothers me that, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago, the Red Sox were playing Cleveland.
Right.
And there was a fan that was thrown out of the game, basically. And
I remember this.
It turned, and you know, Will Fleming was all over it. He's like, you know, they should have just thrown out that man. And I'm like, well, they did already. Let it go.
They did
and
already.
Move on, you know, don't make it a big deal. Let's move on from the game.
It happened. It happened.
Yep.
Exactly. Move on. No big deal.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, Gene, because one thing the Boston media is all over, and they should put an end to it once and for all. This whole Devers first base thing.
They're not going to because
Cora doesn't want Devers to play first base. Leave it alone.
But here's the thing, though.
But the media still wants to talk about it over and over and over.
They're not going to because to them, it's like,
well, right now we
figure out the first base problem.
We've got a lot of situational baseball problems going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do, as it turns out. We got Bregman out now. Story's gone 15 for his last 114.
Casas still out.
Casas will be out for the season.
Ew. Yep.
So.
Man, that is not a good time.
Just thinking about the media obnoxiousness factor. We need to at least put Philadelphia in that league.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
Qualifying. Mitch, I don't have the sense, and I'm not, you're more connected than I am, that LA media is so, you know, ruthless.
LA media are lightweights.
Yeah.
The one guy who does get on the Dodgers is Bill Plaschke, and he tends to be a little over the top on occasion, but no, the LA media does not have the reputation that New York, Boston, and Philly have. That's for sure.
I used to enjoy reading him when I used to read the LA Times. Plaschke's good stuff.
Plaschke.
Yeah.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
And one thing, fellas, we were talking at some length about.
Hey, Michael.
Say, Reverend.
Well, speak of.
So, Michael.
We were just talking about
it. I was asked to ask you a question when you came on, and that has to do with Manning from Texas. I made the comment that it wasn't clear to me that he was as good as people said he was. That I was really curious to see how he was going to do this year.
And I followed up and asked, and to piggyback off of Teeter's question, I was basically asking, backing up Quinn Mewers, and now with him being full-time starter in Sarkisian's offense, does that help Arch Manning, or do you think that will make him take a step backwards?
It's hard to say. The guy hasn't been a full-time starter. He was a spot player. There's a lot of media hype. They put a lot on this guy, a lot of pressure on this guy.
Oh, sure.
And if he doesn't pan out, then they're going to say, Aaron Murray from Georgia, former quarterback at Georgia, came out and said, I don't believe in Manning. Well, you got to give the guy a chance. And, I'm not making excuses, but just the fact you got you're going to have four new offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have one experienced wide receiver, although, got pretty good talent, pretty good speed, but one fairly experienced wide receiver. So we'll see. We'll just have to see.
And
better running game too.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like how, besides when that, with them, losing Jaden Blue to the draft and with Gunnar Helm being drafted, how good are the tight ends and the tight end
has talent, but again, no experience. Running backs, you have two guys that are coming off of knee injuries, pretty experienced, CJ Baxter, Christian Clark. They're coming back from knee injuries, should give you some depth. Weisner, who was right in there with Jaden Blue.
Didn't he get a few snaps last year? Cause I think him and I think Blue and a couple of other guys. I think there was at least three. I think wasn't there three or four different backs that they rotated through?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Gibson, Weisner, and Blue were your three top players, but you got Baxter and Clark coming back now, and a freshman.
Yep.
So hopefully your running game will be better.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, because I don't know who's going to be like 1A, 1B. Is it going to be like Gibson, then Reisner, and then Clark, the other backs you were mentioning, or do you think those other two are going to get, the bulk of the carries before Gibson and Reisner to help Arch out.
You gotta take some of the pressure off of him.
Yeah.
And can he make all the throws? I don't know. Is he more mobile than yours? Yes. But we'll see. He'll be the guy.
Yeah. And defense, the big problem is better too, right?
You lost 7 or 8 interior linemen. You had to replace some of them in the portal. You got some guys. We got the number one rated lineman in the recruiting deal last year from Georgia. We stole him right out from under Georgia. We paid him more money, but anyway,
like all the big beloved and talented colleges and universities of higher learning and education, more like
love NIL, don't you?
More like
so. It'll be a competitive team, but less experience, lots of talent, less experience. So we'll see.
Let's see if we have anybody else waiting in the wings. Cindy, do we have anybody?
No. You do not.
All right. Just let us know when that happens.
I will.
Thank you.
So, Michael, I thought about you last night because the Texas, actually, Don, you too, the Texas Longhorns, and Mitch, you too, and I think USC women's made the World Series in softball.
Texas did. And
I think USC did too.
I thought it was UCLA.
I think it was UCLA.
I think UCLA, because I know UCLA had a 2 out of 3 in Columbia. Yeah.
It is
South Carolina.
It is UCLA. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, that's what I thought.
They did beat SC.
Yeah,
they beat SC in the regular season, I think.
South Carolina.
Yeah, I know. And by the way, South Carolina got the very last national seed. I'm like, wait a minute. How did they get the last national seed? And UCLA had a better record and better RPI and better strength of schedule. And they got a host site and they traveled. And I'm like, okay.
We had
a nail biter against Clemson to get in. So I know.
We were
51-11. And just think, if we had lost that game, we probably wouldn't have made it in.
No, you wouldn't have made it in because at one point I was listening to the text feed of that game and it was 3-1 because Clemson finally got on the board in the third. And then Texas finally was able to get just enough runs to finish that out. And they're still looking for their first softball natty.
Well, everything that I'm hearing, it's Oklahoma again.
Oklahoma's got to get through Tennessee first.
You know what?
I don't know, but
they did put that.
Man, they can hit 30. They can hit home runs.
What was that?
They did put Oklahoma, Tennessee at 2:30 in the afternoon. They didn't make it the night game like we had hoped for.
I was hoping that would be, it's not going to matter to me because due to the fact that my favorite baseball team's not playing on Thursday anyway, so that works. One that helps.
And I got my piece of garbage laptop to finally work again, so I can record that even while I'm doing something else.
That's a help.
On the big unit.
Exactly. Sooner feed at 1 o'clock or depending on how long that first game
is that goes. The first game of the World Series?
No, that's the second game.
They call it.
Second game.
Second
game of the morning/afternoon session. Cause I don't know who's going to be the first game.
I have a topic
which maybe we shouldn't be starting this time of the program, but what do you think of the NFL allowing one player from each team to play in this silly flag football thing that's going to happen in the Olympics. Okay.
We got about three. 2028.
In 2028. And I can just see the flak. You know, apparently they don't play with offensive linemen in flag football. I think it's quarterback, running back.
So what do you suppose is the point to this event?
What happens if a Patrick Mahomes gets injured seriously, because it's going to be in July. What happens if one of the stars of the NFL who wants to play in this nonsense.
And then they miss
seriously
training,
injured.
And miss yeah, training they, camp. And,
or miss the whole bloody season. You can get hurt playing flag football. You can.
Oh, sure.
You can, your knee can, you know, you can twist the wrong way trying to dodge a tackler. I heard this and I said, are they out of their freaking minds?
That means what? 32 players are going to play in the flag football event?
I don't know exactly what it is, but
there are six teams. There are six countries that apparently play flag football.
And this would represent the United States. This arrest. One player per team.
Now
I don't know what the size of the roster is going to be. I don't know how many, but there'll be some competition. But I just think this
Mitch, I heard the same thing you did on PFT Live, and they were discussing it, and I'm like, they're gonna allow what?
Bob, you have 7 minutes.
Thank you,
Cindy. Just to let you know.
That's the only thing I'm thinking. They're going to allow what? Like,
that's a farce.
A sport. Look, football, fine, but none of these players have played flag football. Probably most of them ain't even played flag football since their high school days.
Well, and of course, in a generation, the NFL may be flag football given
all the rules.
This might be a preview.
The head injury.
Definitely.
But it's headed that way.
There's two things I'd like to bring up. A, I've heard that the NFL have made a decision that they were going to postpone allowing players to play in the summer games, for the flag football. The other thing that I actually would like to talk about is, and I saw this as an email. I think it was Peter that sent this out.
Yep. I saw that.
Before we do the tush push, I just wanted to make another comment with flag football, which I find more bizarre than what Mitch is talking about. And that is, Tom Brady coming out of retirement to be the quarterback.
Like, hold on. Who does Tom Brady think he's going to try to become?
That's all about
Gossage with a crap arm?
Dude,
that's all about promotion.
Can you just picture this, ladies and gentlemen? Picture this, okay? He gets selected to play in the summer games.
Let me see if I got this straight. He's coming out of retirement with the Goose Gossage / Bruce Sutter dead arm.
Mm-hmm.
He can't throw anymore, and he ain't thrown for about, 3 years since he's left? I mean, how quickly is it going to take him to get at least 79-mile-an-hour Gaylord Perry zip on his fastball to throw it?
Well, the good news is it's flag football. It's not like they have to work hard.
Right.
Physical.
But he's still going to have to move, though, with his 40-something-year-old dad bod.
It's easier pulling a flag out of somebody's belt when the guy is standing still.
But here's the thing. In flag football, you're going to have to move. And with Brady's creaky body at 42, it looks more like a dad bod than tripping on a dad post.
Right.
There is no way you can sit here and tell me that this man is going to have anything left after the fact. Come on now.
He'll be what, 47 or 48?
Mike, check this out. When he gets to 47, 48, Methuselah Online 1 would want his robes back.
Hey, the next thing they're going to do is for Olympic boxing, they're going to bring Mike Tyson back.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. If you're gonna do that, you might as well go ahead and dig up Muhammad Ali and George Foreman and go back to some Thriller in Manila and Joe Frazier.
Last I heard, Muhammad Ali and George Foreman are dead.
At least Tyson is still alive.
And Evander Holyfield, so we can have Ear Bite Part 4.
Yeah, right.
So the tush push. I don't know what to make of that.
Roger Goodell was so, here's the thing. Roger Goodell was bent on getting that passed because he and some of the other owners and so on and so forth were talking about trying to figure out a way to get rid of it because it looks more like a rugby play than an actual football play. Here's the thing. You had something on the books in 2005.
Yeah.
You had basically where they couldn't push or pull the pile. You could not assist a runner with pushing it.
Here's the deal, guys. So since it's passed, since they got it, it's going to sort of change the dynamics of the game because defensively, you're either going to have to bring all of your big guys in.
Exactly.
And try to muscle them, but it also opens you up because if you are concentrating on the quick,
you're getting exposed with the pass.
There you go.
Well, you're going to have some pretty brave quarterbacks too, to be honest with you.
Bob, you got two minutes.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You got a 4-man front, but you take out a linebacker and bring in an extra beefy big guy. You got 5 big guys that probably can't run. So if you're trying to stop the beloved and talented Maul for All, but you're getting exposed to 2 linebackers in the secondary, keep in mind, if you have receivers that have speed and can know how to use and control that speed, that's 50 yards of real estate you've given up on one play.
Yeah, it's going to change the dynamics. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, it will. It'll definitely be that.
You just have to decide, do you want to play rugby or do you want to play football? Simple as that.
That's the question. It's going to put you in a spot because if you're so bent on stopping that QB Maul for All, the quarterback that can actually spin it is going to get a 40 to 50 yard shot play because everybody's got their eyes on him.
Maybe the way to deal with it, and I think it will be outlawed by next year, but I think what they need to do to deal with it is to remind the referees to take a very narrow interpretation of forward progress. Maybe that's the way you deal with it.
And it looks like we're out of time, gentlemen. It was a great show. We covered a lot of territory. I want to thank everybody for being on.
Can we put a pin into that for next week and get a little deeper into that?
Sounds like a plan to me. Go safe with God's abundant blessings. Have a safe Memorial Day. Talk to you next week. Have a great day.